Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here's our next UFC fight night Saturday from the Apex in Las Vegas, women's strawweight main event. Mackenzie Dern, she's 12-2, taking on 13-3 Yan Xiaonan. The prelim start at 4 Eastern, followed by the main card 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you to another hour of Get Up. We come to you live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Pat McAfee will join us live in the next hour here as we will get his take all around the world of football. And I've got the football crew ready to go, but that's not where this hour begins. All rise. North of the border, the verdict was rendered finally last night. Aaron Judge, the pursuit of 61 at the Blue Jays, top of 7. Judge at the plate with the game tied at 3. The YES Network's Michael Kay at the mic.
And the 3-2. Joe deep to left field. This could be it. See ya. He's done it. Number 61. He's been chasing history, and now he makes it. He and Roger Maris are tied with 61 home runs, the most anybody has ever hit in a single season in American League history.
Let that sink in. The reactions. That's Mom. That's Roger Maris Jr. The emotions. The moment that will live forever. The Yankees had already wrapped up the division the day before, so the fact that the final score was 8-3 is not what matters. Aaron Judge, 61. Let that sink in.
Definitely some relief getting to 61. You know, you try not to think about it, but it creeps into your head. When I hit it, I thought I got enough, you know, but it's been a couple games since I did that, you know, so you never really know if it's going to get out or not. So I tried to sprint around the bases a little bit, and then once it got over the fence, you know, just a relief that, you know, now we're leading in the game. And also, you know, like I said, getting a chance to, you know, tie Roger Maris, that's stuff you you dream about. That it's not even real.
Ridiculously likable. It's an extraordinary achievement. It's something that many of us thought we would never, ever see under these circumstances. And so, look, we had Buster Olney on earlier in this program, and we talked about this from a baseball purist standpoint. But this is something that I think all sports fans everywhere are reacting to. So I wanted to give the group here a chance to react. Bart, you're going to host your radio show today. You're going to talk about this. What are you going to say about Aaron Judge this morning?
I mean, just his professionalism, right? He's such a likable, you know, character. You know, he does everything right. He's the closest thing that we've seen around here since Jeter. He just does everything right, and he did it. He did it with humility. He did it with grace. And I think, you know, how great is it for one Yankee to take a Yankees record and break it, and it stays right within in the Yankees. And most Yankee fans will tell you that this is the real record because they put the asterisk for the steroid era. But you can still say, listen, this is the AL record as well. So, you know, you can look at it that way.
There are other ways, but Dan Graziano, you covered the sport for a long time. If and when he hits another, this is game 155, so he's got 7 more. If and when he hits 62, who will you consider to be the single season home run champ?
I mean, it's obviously Bonds, and I say this as a former Hall of Fame voter who never voted for Bonds or Clemens or any of those guys. Because I felt like, you know, it was ill-gotten. But the fact of the matter is it happened, right? Like whatever the circumstances were, he hit the ball over the fence 73 times that year. So it's unfortunate that that's, you know, I look back on, I was covering baseball in 1998. I remember how exciting it was when McGuire and Sosa were going after these records. And obviously, looking back on it, you know, you feel like you were duped. So the lasting problem is that these numbers don't mean what they used to mean, unfortunately.
Do you know what the other element of this is? A lot of people have made this comparison. Aaron Judge and Lamar Jackson have one thing in common.
Yeah.
They both bet on themselves. Right. They turned down a lot of money in the pursuit of even more. Aaron Judge just went out and had the biggest season, maybe the best offensive season in the history of baseball, and Lamar was doing something very different.
Yeah,
very,
I mean, that, to me, that was the first thing that I thought of was like, you go out here, you're Aaron Judge, you bet on yourself, you turn down the Yankees offer, and then you go out here and you're tied right now, tied Roger Maris' record
yep.
in the AL. Like,
yeah.
What better way to cash in than to basically be on the verge of breaking a historic record in Major League Baseball.
I can think of one other way. Win the Triple Crown while you do it. Oh, by the way, he might do that too. He's leading in all the categories right now. Give me a final thought.
I think it's the perfect timing for the game of baseball. You look at some of the issues that baseball is having right now. They're trying to put in place rules that change up the game, that speed it up a little bit. And not to age Dan over here, but in 98, I was freshman in high school, and I can remember that time and how exciting that was. Mm-hmm. And now it's awesome to have that back, that feeling of breaking records, hitting home runs, the long ball, and they really needed that right now. Yeah. And I think it's great.
He's a willing star.
It's a great time, not only to be a Yankees fan, but with the way the game was going, to have a guy like this to put those numbers up.
I just want to note that I was a particularly young baseball player in 1998. Precocious.
Okay. Well, make it feel better.
And I will finish it by saying I own clothing older than you are, but that's a whole other story. All right, so that's the baseball from last night. Now, football. Week 4 begins tonight with the undefeated Dolphins visiting the Bengals. Tua Tagovailoa is the story. He's off to a great start. He leads all quarterbacks and with total QBR. He's tied for third with 8 passing touchdowns. He's been absolutely spectacular. And on the flip side, a guy he remembers well from their college days, Joe Burrow. It's not been a great start to the season. He's actually 19th in total QBR. He's been sacked 15 times this year, tied for the most in the NFL. They finally got a win last week against the Jets. Tonight is the first NFL meeting between these quarterbacks. The last time they saw each other, who doesn't remember this game at Bryant-Denny Stadium? Both of them were unbelievable. This was the year that Burrow and LSU won the national championship. The two of them combined that game for over 800 passing yards and 7 touchdowns. LSU won it 46-41. I remember the game well. Graziano, you talked to them about it, right?
Well, when I talked to Burrow last year, one of the things, the topics was college rivalries, and I asked him about one memorable one, and he said, that Alabama game, we went in there. He starts talking about the feeling and what it felt, and he stops, he goes, and we knew we were going to win. Like, that was how that team felt all year. So I guess it's a good memory.
And Vegas likes them to win tonight. The Dolphins may be 3-0, but they're an underdog on the road, and a big part of that is the health situation involving Tua. And you told us earlier that the expectation, while it is not a certainty, is that he will play.
Yeah, they listed him as questionable, but he was able to practice. You know, it is dealing with a back issue. If that were to flare up and become worse today, they could conceivably decide not to play him. But the expectation is he should be good to go.
So, I asked earlier this morning, we had a lengthy debate both yesterday and a little earlier today on what exactly it is that Tua has or has not proven with 3 good games so far. For whatever that is worth, I asked for the picks. Chrissy, let's put the picks up there. Oh, no, we're going to do that a little bit later. We'll put the picks up there on the screen. But one of the questions that I have for you is, are you completely sold on these Dolphins? They're 3-0. I've had Robert Griffin up here telling me they're the best team in the National Football League right now. If this was the BCS, they would be ranked number one. They would be. Why are you making that face?
Man, I don't know if we drug test our analysts, but we may have to start.
Come on now. They've beaten Baltimore. They've beaten Buffalo. They've beaten New England. What more do you want?
I mean, that's a fugazi. 3-0.
We remember
sitting here and talking about a couple years ago, talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were 11-0. We knew that wasn't a real strong, solid, 11-0. Are they a good football team? Yes, they are a good football team. Are they elite? Maybe. They may be pushing. They're on that line. But I don't think that Tua is a great quarterback. I think he's a solid quarterback that's doing what he's supposed to do, right? But I by no means do I put him in the likes of, the person on the other sideline today.
Which is Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Joe Burrow.
He's not in Joe Burrow's class.
We know it when we see it, Greeny. And it don't matter what the record is. We know elite quarterbacks when we see it. That's why we always had a conversation about Dak. We had a conversation about Kirk Cousins. We know that right now, even looking at Trevor Lawrence, we know Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's coming off to a slow start, maybe a victim of their own success. He missed a lot of the start. A lot of these Green Bay type of Sean McVay philosophy guys are struggling coming out of the gate fast. I think right now Cincinnati's hitting their stride.
What is it you're not seeing from Tua? What does he have to do to prove this to you? When he needs to make big throws, he makes them. When he gets hurt, he comes back in the game. He's doing all the things that quarterbacks are supposed to do to prove themselves. What does he need to do to prove it to you?
Time.
Thank you.
Tom!
But why are we sold? We're sold on Jalen Hurts. I mean, I got everyone up here unanimously crowning Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts is average, too.
He's average. You're telling me Jalen Hurts, the NFC's offensive player of the month,
yes,
who I've got people up here telling me is a leading candidate for MVP. He's average?
He got the best offensive line and 2 elite weapons. Of course, we talk about Action Jackson because of who he's doing it with. We know special when we see special. Like, we know who's a product of their environment. And those two guys are a product of their environment.
You agree with that?
Yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, you look at Philadelphia. Philadelphia may have the most talented roster in the National Football League.
Right.
And so, listen, and this is not taking anything away from Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has been ascending year after year, game after game. But are we going to put him, like, there's
levels to this, man.
Greedy, there are levels to this. So as much as we, you know, as much as we praise Jalen Hurts and the way Tua started off this season, I'm not elevating them to some elite status yet.
Look, yeah.
You?
They're not elite yet. I mean, no. Come on. I need time. I'm with Woody.
I get that. But he's saying you know it when you see it. You don't see it from Tua?
You see flashes of it. But listen, if you took another quarterback, you put Lamar on the Miami, what are they?
I get that.
They're going to the Super Bowl. So.
But everyone doesn't have to be Lamar Jackson to be very good, right? Well, I mean, no one is sitting here saying you have to be the greatest quarterback of all time.
You have to manage the game. He's managing the football games. He's doing what they're asking him to do. But also, he's got the best receiver in the NFL. When you have that and you have the ability to stand back there and throw to guys that are like that, wide open, there's no one around him. So I need to see a little bit more down this in the season when things get a little rough. He's going through a back injury. He's going to get banged up right now. I want to see him in week 8, week 9. We've seen teams, and we do this every single year. I said this earlier in the show.
Yeah.
We go off on a tangent on a 3-0 team and the way they look, and they're going to be in the Super Bowl. And then they turn into the Panthers last year, or they turn into Denver. It's like, okay, well, what happened? The season happened, time happened, and other teams are game planning against you. So you're not – other teams are going to play this team, the Miami Dolphins.
They're going to adjust.
Differently week 8, 9, 10, 12 than they were in the first 4 weeks of the season. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, we've heard Orlovsky talk about the two different kinds of quarterbacks, the kind you can win with and the kind you win because of, right? And there's nothing wrong with being in that first group.
Right.
There are lots of guys like that around the league. And Tua may well be one of them. But his opponent tonight, you know, the thought is that he's in the other category. In the weeks leading up to the 2020 NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins, picking 5th, were trying to trade up to number 1. Not because they were worried they wouldn't get Tua, because they wanted Joe Burrow. And the Bengals weren't going to move the pick. And that tells you how they felt about
it. And maybe, just maybe, history will show that they both should have taken Justin Herbert.
Maybe.
I mean, we don't know. The reality is, I get it. We don't know these things.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Look, Miami tonight on the road at Cincinnati. Tough spot. Short week. Played this crazy emotional game. Let's see what winds up happening. Again, Vegas likes the Bengals tonight. As we continue, no one here buying the Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. But don't count out the Cowboys just yet. We'll tell you why the D and Big D might still stand for division champions. We're talking about that. And don't miss McAfee Live. How badly does Aaron Rodgers miss Devontae Adams? And what does Pat think of the now infamous butt punt? We'll find out as he dives into our river next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, and the game is fact or fiction. All right, Ninko, you're on the spot. The Patriots are done. Fact or fiction?
That's fiction. Come on, they can't be. That's fiction. How can you say that they're going to be done? Yeah, you can't say
barbecue Patriots, chicken, Nico.
They're going to be done. It's through 3 weeks. I just said earlier in the show that you can't go crazy on teams that are 3-0. Well, you still can't say that the season's over for the Patriots. We don't know what's going to happen with the quarterback. Mac Jones might play this weekend. Yeah, they got two game plans right now.
He's day by day.
You never know.
It's day by day.
He might put a cast on, go out there.
So day by day.
Day by day.
Next, the winner of Bears-Giants this weekend will be 3-1. Will that team make the playoffs? Fact or fiction?
Fiction. Greeny, these guys be having U-Haul boxes in December, man. They'll start shipping the cars home real early on both of these cities. I'll tell you what, but no fiction. I don't even know how to explain it. What am I talking about?
Fair enough. D. Wood, let's go to how about them Cowboys. If I said they have a legitimate shot to win the division, is that fact or fiction?
I'm going fact, man. Listen, the Dallas Cowboys, it's because of the defensive side of the football. You see how the boys was out there eating against the New York football Giants? I mean, it was, what'd you say, barbecue chicken. Yeah. It was barbecue chicken
that was
out there.
Though.
It was barbecue chicken against the New York Giants in that offensive line. That's what's going to be the element that's going to keep those guys in the race until Dak Prescott and company get back in the mix.
And I'm going to add this to the mix. This Sunday, you guys just told me, you two just told me, the Eagles are going to lose to Jacksonville. The Cowboys are going to do to Carson Wentz exactly what the Eagles did to him last week. They sacked him 9 times. I can only imagine what Mike is going to do. They're going to be tied for the division lead. That's playing without their quarterback. That's playing without Michael Gallup. The tight end has been hurt. They're getting healthy all over the place. Can the Cowboys win? No, not can. Are the Cowboys going to win this division?
No.
Come on. What do you mean, no?
I tell you, Jerry Jones has been stirring the pot, right? Talking about, he wished that he can have a quarterback controversy. Be careful what you wish for, because you're setting up for the Cowboys to beat, the Commanders this week. But then Dak's going to come back to save the day, and then he's going to play the defending Super Bowl champs, take an L there. And then we're going to see, because they're going to have that matchup against the Eagles the game after that.
We're going to see what?
We're going to see a quarterback controversy.
Get out of here. You're telling me you believe there will be a legitimate quarterback question in Dallas this season.
Well, I have a national radio show, and I'll tell you, we put that question out to the Dallas fans. And what happens is Cooper Rush is undefeated, 4-0. And then Dak's going to come back, but he's going to play better football teams. He's going to lose 2 games, and they're going to be saying, well, we should run the same offense every run out of Cooper Rush. But you can't do that when you're paying your quarterback $40 million. You got to show off your shiny car. You can't let the ball game go through Zeke and Pollard. You got to let it go through Dak's arm, and that's the wrong recipe for this team. It should be defense, running the ball, and shots. And when Dak's out there, that's not the case. And Woody, you can do all that, but I'm trying to tell you, man.
D. Wood, come on, jump in here. Help me.
Why boss trying to start stuff at what, 9?
Jerry started. He stirred the pot. In the morning. Look at the percentages.
Quarterback controversy.
Look at the percentages.
Quarterback controversy, in Dallas.
Graphic?
Listen,
you see
when
the graphic?
Dak is back, Dak is a quarterback.
I understand that, but look at the graphic.
Okay,
against the Rams,
I'm looking at
29%. Against the Eagles, 36%. And you better change that on my Lions, too, because they are playing scrappy. They biting elbows, kneecaps. And when they get Jameson Williams back, that's going to be a tough out, too.
Help me here. This is literally insane. You were the same one who told me, I know it when I see it. Now, all of a sudden, you're telling me Cooper Rush is going to create a legitimate quarterback controversy in Dallas.
Who's the most famous person on any team?
The backup quarterback.
And this backup quarterback is 4-0 because they play a conservative way and they play with defense and running the ball. When that comes, they air it out.
Help me.
This is Jerry Jones. He's such a marketing genius, isn't he? He puts that out there. We got Bart Scott on here talking about quarterback controversy.
I fell for it, Jerry.
Follow the money. No, there's no way that there's going to be a Cooper. There's no way that's going to happen. There's no way that Cooper's going to take Dak's job. And there is no controversy. Dak is out to get his thumb repaired. Once his thumb is good, maybe he might – the second that he can get in the huddle and in practice – he's going to say, hey, he's going to tap Cooper Rush on the shoulder. Hey, yeah, get
who
back.
Whose job did Dak Prescott take?
He took Tony Romo's job.
He was a fourth-round draft pick. I'm not saying him. I'm just saying fans.
Not the same category at that time. Tony Romo
Dak Prescott, was Dak, old. Dak's always hurt.
We'll see if he winds up hurt.
He's Glass Joe.
Is this insane?
His offensive line.
It's insane.
Dak Prescott's the quarterback of the Cowboys. Like, they're not going to change. Even if he comes back, even if he comes back and loses to the Rams and Eagles, right? I mean, like, that's what they're paying him to do. They're not going to just shuffle him out of there. Romo was at the end of a contract. He was at the end of a career. Right? Like, this was.
Here's what I will give you. What I will give you, and I've had other people say it up here, D. Wood, I want to get your take on this, is that the offense they should run when Dak comes back should look a little bit more like the offense they've been running in these couple of games. All of a sudden, that first performance of the season, when they look terrible with Dak there, doesn't seem quite as bad when we've seen what Tampa's defense has done since then. I mean, Aaron Rodgers only scored 2 touchdowns against them. So if you want to tell me they need to keep running this offense through Zeke and Tony Pollard, that part I'll buy.
Absolutely. Well, I've been saying that for the longest. It's like this team, this offense operates best through their running backs. You know, Dak Prescott got his money, God bless him and all that. But this team operates best through those two running backs. And when they're doing that and playing the style of defense that they're playing, that's when the Dallas Cowboys are at their best as a team.
Complimentary football.
And listen, this is when you have a backup, say you have your inside linebacker, he goes down, he's got the dot. You have your playbook, right? It's this thick. You know what you do? You take one piece off and you say, this is what we're going to run. This is where we're going to run. You simplify. And you look at this offense, they know what they need to do. Run the football. Time of possession, defense. You said it earlier. So when Dak comes back, maybe they can evaluate that playbook, say, you know what? Let's run the things that we are running well, place Dak in here, and then we're going to take more shots down the field. And that's what they're going to do. Because you have to do that. You can't go back.
Does Dak have the humility to do that? When he's there, not check off the plays that he likes and say, I want to take shots. Well, right? It's hard to say they want to do death by a thousand paper cuts. I'm the show. I'm trying to be famous. I'm trying to win games. I'm trying to go to the Pro Bowl. I'm trying to be all pro.
He's selling beds on television. He's famous.
Do you know what makes him famous? You know what Tony Romo never did? It's obviously a rhetorical question. Yeah. What no quarterback has done for a quarter of a century is lead the Dallas Cowboys to a championship. If Dak Prescott wins a championship, he will be the most famous guy for the rest of his life. Just ask any of the Cowboys quarterbacks. Final word, go.
Yeah, he's not insufficiently famous. He's got a million commercials. He's got a contract. All that's left for him is to win.
Am I doing the baseball here, Tori, yes or no? Yes. Okay, let's do it. I want to show you a crazy comeback last night in an incredibly important game in the National League.
One up, baby. We won up.
Go. Mets Marlins. Listen to what happened. Bottom seven, Mets are down 4-0, and then that man happened. Eduardo Escobar. That's a two-run shot to left. So a 4-0 lead just became a 4-2 lead, and he was by no means done. Eighth inning, bases juiced, Escobar to the plate, and Escobar brought the juicer. That's going to find a hole. Two runs will score. That will tie the game at 4. So it's Marlins 4, Escobar 4. But wait, there's more.
More?
Bottom of 10, still tied at 4. Escobar at the plate. 2 on, 1 out. Gary Cohen, the voice of the Mets on SNY. Take it home.
And Eduardo punches one through the hole. Base hit. Here comes Lindor. Blade with the throw to the plate. Lindor is safe. And the Mets win it.
We needed
Bart Scott.
We needed that, Greeny. We needed that, Greeny. We got a big
series. They stay one game up on the Braves in the division. Both have an off day today. They'll play a huge 3-game set in Atlanta this weekend. DeGrom, Scherzer, Kyle Wright will all start in the series right now.
Me too, Green.
According
to
our analytics, the Mets have a 79% chance to win the division. As we continue, how badly does Aaron Rodgers miss Devontae Adams, or does Adams miss him more? I will ask that question and many others to that man. Pat McAfee will dive into our river. Next, Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back on Get Up, your wake-up call this morning. John Sterling, WFAN, all rise.
And the payoff. There goes the deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 61. He ties Roger Maris for the American League single-season record with 61 home runs. It's a two-run Judgian blast. Here comes the judge.
And so Aaron Judge does it last night north of the border, and you see the cover of the New York Post, Roger That, with Roger Maris Jr. there. You saw him in that shot, and he's been very gracious through all of this. The pursuit continues. Yankees have an off day, then they play the Orioles three games in the Bronx this weekend. All right, we will get back to the NFL here, and with the Dolphins in Cincinnati for a game tonight, the Buccaneers have relocated to Miami's training facility on account of course, Hurricane Ian and the devastation that is blowing through the western part of the state. The NFL has yet to announce where the game against the Chiefs will be played on Sunday night. Let's just get a momentary update on that, and then I want to dive into the game itself here. Obviously, the issues that we're dealing in are far more important than a football game's venue or anything like that, and our thoughts are certainly with everybody in harm's way in Florida. That said, what do we know about the status of the game itself?
As of now, the game's still scheduled to be played Sunday night in Tampa. The league has said if they have to move it, it would move to Minneapolis. Still be played on Sunday night. Obviously, the issues have to do with evaluating the damage, the destruction, and the need for resources maybe to be elsewhere in Florida besides a football game. They can decide today or as late as tomorrow if they want.
All right, so we will see where that game is played. And again, first and foremost, we wish safety for everyone in the area. Now, having said that, we talked earlier this morning about the Buccaneers and their struggles on offense. Anyone who watched Kansas City last week? I'm just looking around this table. Anybody worried? You sort of saw that one coming a little bit for us there, Bart. Are you worried about the things that you saw in that game from that offense concern you?
Well, listen, I spoke about this earlier in the season when I picked the Kansas City Chiefs to lose six or seven games. This is one of the games I picked them to lose because this is the team that really put out the blueprint about how to defend the Kansas City Chiefs, making Patrick Mahomes be patient, making him have to go through Charles Allaire and Kelce. But, you know, you can go through Kelce in previous years because you always had to put two defenders on Tyreek Hill. Now teams are just playing them flat-footed. They're not even afraid. They're sitting at the stick saying, you don't have a receiver that can run past me. So they're a lot easier to defend than in previous years, and it's going to be a lot harder for Patrick Mahomes. He's going to have his best season, and it may not have the best, you know, statistics for him in his young career.
Well, D-Wood, sitting right where you're sitting right now, mm-hmm. on Monday, Rex Ryan said here on this show that he thinks this was the first game, this past loss, where they really missed Tyreek Hill. Because in a game where everything else was going wrong, they had special teams mistakes, they had Travis Kelce dropping passes, all sorts of things you don't expect. That the one guy that used to cover up all of that, who would catch a 6-yard pass and run for an 80-yard touchdown and get everything turned around, they don't have him anymore and he's not coming back. Do they miss him?
Yeah, I do think they miss him because, you know, we've seen throughout Patrick Mahomes' career a lot of what we call that ad lib, you know, ad lib type plays, off schedule type plays where, you know, he just play outside the structure because you got a guy that no one can cover. Where Patrick Mahomes would get outside the pocket, all of a sudden, you know, Tyreek Hill would break free from the coverage and it's deuces. Well, now you don't have that type of guy. Patrick Mahomes he's forced to play more kind of what they call traditional quarterback play. And teams aren't threatened by the weapons that the Kansas City Chiefs have out there. I think there's an adjustment period for the Kansas City Chiefs, but am I panic? I'm not panic. I think they'll figure it out.
But if you were getting set to play against them this weekend, Ninko, having seen what you saw last week, and there's Tyreek Hill doing his thing now, obviously throwing up the deuces in a different uniform. If you were getting set to play against them this week, are they as scary as they used to be?
I mean, obviously you take away Hill, they're not as scary, but you have to take away Kelce. That's the go-to guy in the red zone. That's the go-to guy in third and 5-8. When you look at Mahomes and he's going to try and get that first down, he's going to Kelce 9 out of 10 times. So what you do in that game plan is make sure that he is never one-on-one against a linebacker. Right. You make sure there's a safety on him or he has some help over the top. And you don't let him free release. You look at that playoff game where they beat Buffalo, they let Kelce just run off the line of scrimmage in line in the tight end position. nobody touches him. He has to be abused. You have to hit him. You got to get your hands on him in 5 yards. So, again, I think that if you take away Kelce, it definitely is it's a way to beat them because he has to go to somebody else. Without Hill, he doesn't have that guy.
And maybe we saw a little bit of frustration. In no way am I making a big deal about Patrick Mahomes right. and Eric Bieniemy last weekend, but I think it is an indication that Mahomes was a little frustrated. The offense just didn't look good. They didn't look crisp. You spent some time with them this offseason.
Yeah.
What do you think so far?
They talked all summer about, you know, how it's going to look different. Mahomes is going to have to operate differently as a passer because you can't just assume Tyreek Hill is going to win his matchup and go to him no matter what. Mahomes talked about that. And then they come out and they blow out the Arizona Cardinals in week one, and the reaction is, oh, they got it figured out. Well, they don't. It's still going to take some time. Yeah. You believe in the ability of this coaching staff and this quarterback to get it figured out. And it'll look better, I think, as the season goes along. But there's still work to be done, as one would expect at this point.
I mean, at the end of this weekend, one of these two teams is going to be 500. And there are going to be a lot of questions, both of them coming off bad offensive weeks last week. We talked about it. The Bucs have more turnovers than touchdowns so far this year. We'll see if Brady is able to get it right against the Kansas City defense. In the meantime, we are ready to roll with Pat McAfee. Coming up, we're talking about his guy, Aaron Rodgers. How much does Rodgers miss Devontae Adams, or is it more the other way around? McAfee likes to jump in the river. We got a river for him, and he's going to join us live next. Don't miss McAfee getting up with us on ESPN right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hey, what's up? Just getting loosened up for the college football primetime with the Pat McAfee Show coming this Saturday night on ESPN2. There's going to be big donations. There's going to be giveaways. There's going to be electricity. And there's going to be this shot. Probably 2 to 15 times. Bang. Woo! I mean, Saturday night, it's going down. Right here at the Thunderdome, ESPN2. Let's have a f***ing weekend, baby.
There he is, the one, the only Pat McAfee, whom I almost did not recognize. The megacast starts this Saturday night, NC State Clemson. But, Pat, you're wearing sleeves. Everyone at the set here is thrown off. You are not wearing your usual uniform. The hair looks spectacular. What gives?
Well, I appreciate the compliment on the hair from everybody on the set. You know, D. Wood in the break said, Pat, the hair looks immaculate. And I've never heard something better, especially because we all got to see what D. Wood's house looks like during COVID. So I know that that man's got incredible swag. The compliment came in a beautiful fashion. I appreciate you, Wood. Ninkovich, your beard looks amazing per usual. Moz, I don't know what you got going on, but I'm sure you're killing it. And Greeny, I want to let you know that it's been a couple months now. I've been thinking about changing from the black tank top, maybe into a more adult fit, maybe other options. And since my time on game day, I have been reminded in my mentions by these college football fans. They do appear to all be older white people that have told me I am despicable and disgusting on television. So I thought it was the right time. It felt like in my life and in my profession to move past just the black tank top every day and maybe wear a t-shirt. So here we are. I'm uncomfortable as you are, but this is the next chapter of me.
I'll say this. I'm an older white person, and I kind of miss the other look. But okay, fair enough. Let's go on.
Don't put me in a blender like that. Don't put me in a, because you, Greeny, you know how much we care about your thoughts.
Yes.
Whenever you took like 3 months off earlier this year, we were like, where the hell is Greeny? Where the hell is Greeny? Anything you say goes. You say it, I believe it. So don't put me in a blender like that, please. But you're right. I mean, it's a new stage. We're all going to have to get used to it.
right, fair enough. Let's talk about some football. I've had a lot of disagreement on this set this week about just how much Tua has arrived. I got some people saying he has proven everything that needed to be proved. I got a lot of other people, particularly here this morning, telling me he's still got a long way to go. He plays in Cincinnati tonight. You buying Tua, yes or no?
I think I am buying the Tua stock strictly because I think Tua has the swagger at this point to maybe be an NFL quarterback. He has the weapons to be an NFL quarterback, but he also has an organization that's actually looking out for his best interests, it seems like. Now, obviously last week, everybody's talking about the potential concussion and it's a back injury and he's back on the field. But as soon as McDaniel got hired, he said, first and foremost, I want to make Tua the best version of Tua Tagovailoa. And if you remember in the years past what it was like, they were leaking fake injuries about Tua to make him look bad out of Miami. He was getting benched in two-minute situations. He was thrown into bad spots. There wasn't any, like, public, you know, confidence coming from the Dolphins about Tua. So I think with the way McDaniel, that entire organization, and the way Tyreek's been talking about him and Waddle's been talking about him, I think he's been empowered to the max. And I think obviously they're undefeated for a reason. Big time win over the Bills that they shouldn't have won if you look at the stats. But any team that's winning games like that, I have faith in. And I love Ooze Tua Tagovailoa. I think he's going to continue to grow and continue to ball. And tonight's another opportunity to do so against a Super Bowl defense.
There you go, Bart Scott. You're going to yell at him, too. You yelled at me all morning long. Let me get a quick thought from Bart on that, because Bart's the one telling me this. Go ahead, yell at McAfee like he yelled at me.
Well, my counterpoint is, listen, he's doing what he's supposed to do. He has, you know, ultimate weapons. You know, when you talk about franchise quarterbacks, you talk about guys who are able to, you know, overcome the X's and O's and the Joes and all that stuff, right? I don't know if he's a force multiplier. I think he's a highlighted, you know, or maybe a game manager. But I'm not ready to put him in the same breath as Josh Allen, Herbert, Lamar Jackson. There's levels to this stuff, and you can win a championship. We saw the Philadelphia Eagles win a championship with Nick Foles. We saw the Ravens win with Trent Dilfer. You can win, but what I'm saying is you got to make sure that he keeps that price low so they can continue to surround him with superior talent.
Go ahead, Mac.
No, you're saying, hey, Tua, whenever you go up for a contract, we need you to take a very team-friendly deal because we all know that you won't be good without all these immaculate weapons around you. I think that's a fascinating point. I think time will tell the case there. But I think as Tua continues to grow, we're going to learn whether or not he is one of those guys that Bart Scott mentioned, or is he a guy who's going to have to just manage games for people. Now, I don't think managing a game is a bad thing. I think the ball is the most important part of the program. So anybody that can manage the game well is normally going to get a lot of wins. But this is our first time seeing him with actual weapons and a team behind him. Maybe Tua grows into one of those guys. I have faith that he will, especially down there in Miami.
All right, let me talk about the NFC East. The Eagles are the other unbeaten team. But McAfee knows better than anybody because he has been in this room and on this set many times, and you were nice enough to watch every single day. You know how important the Cowboys are to us. So who you got in the NFC East? The Eagles who are unbeaten or the Cowboys who are coming on without their quarterback?
Listen, I know those pre-production or pre-show meetings, you know. Did Jerry Jones say anything? Have the Cowboys done anything? Well, one guy tweeted, well, let's put that on the show. I understand that the Cowboys have an incredible fan base. The Cowboys have an incredible marketing juggernaut behind it in the name of Jerry Jones and years of success that they had decades ago. And I appreciate everything that Cooper Kush is doing. He looks to be incredibly confident. They're calling him Cooper Clutch now down there as well. Seems like he can manage the entire team and the game. Ezekiel Elliott played his best game the other night. I think that is something that everybody can kind of look forward to. But when you're talking about the NFC East, you got to talk about the dogs in Philadelphia. Sirianni talked about having horse manure and having soil and planting seeds in the bottom of that whenever he was talking about building his culture. And he said that the seeds are going to blossom through the horse manure and the flavor of the horse manure is going to be great. And then this year, undefeated start, Jalen Hurts looking like a pinpoint precision passer. A.J. Brown's unstoppable. Devontae Smith, who was too small to play in the NFL, is going up on top of people's heads. The defense was slaying. The boys are hungry. They're like hungry hippos out there stealing every ball that they can. And special teams, they got guys. I love the Philadelphia Eagles because I love Coach Sirianni. I like the mindset that he's had. He said, we want dogs in this place. Our team won the Super Bowl. We had fans eating poop from horses a couple years ago. A statue was built. Now everything has been burnt down, throw it in the trash, and they're rebuilding from that horse manure, and it feels like Sirianni's got everybody believing over there. I love the Eagles. I like Cowboys, too. Anybody that does good business, I like them. But the Eagles feel like the new guys, dogs of the NFC NFC's for the time being.
We'll see. They've got the Jaguars this weekend. Suddenly, that looks like a much more interesting game than we might have thought. All right, two more I have for you, McAfee. I have to get in a question about your guy, Aaron Rodgers. He's on your show every single Tuesday. It is must watch and must listen for everybody in the entire industry. So you've got the, yes, you have got the Aaron Rodgers props. Down deep inside, when he's got one of these really honest moments, just how much you think he misses Devontae Adams?
I think there's obvious, and he's been kind of open about that with us and other shows, about how he and Devontae are really tight. If you think back to last year when Aaron was out either with COVID or with the toe injury, which I believe, you know, a lot of other Hall of Fame journalists called it COVID. I don't think it was that. I do believe he busted his toe in the middle of the night with COVID, running to go to the bathroom, and then he stubs it on a chair or something like we've all done in the past. He's never said that. This is me just potentially thinking about it. But in that game that he missed, Devontae Adams actually left a spot open for him during the national anthem, right? That they normally stand next to each other. The photo was sent to Aaron. And when Aaron saw that photo, he actually got emotional. So I think on a personal level, Aaron and Devontae love each other. Now, business-wise, everybody who's ever been in the NFL understands. Now, the Packers were able to make an offer for him. Devontae wanted to go to Vegas for his future. Who knows how long Aaron's going to be playing. So I think there is definitely moments in the middle of games, like week one when it didn't look fantastic, where he goes, damn, Devontae and I would have just been able to do a little finger gun situation like we're Urban Meyer, and he would have been able to run a route that nobody else knows about because we're on the same page. Now he's trying to build up that same chemistry with these new wide receivers. I'd assume he misses them, but I assume he has a lot of hope and excitement about these new relationships he's about to build over the next few weeks and hopefully into a long run into the postseason.
All right, and one more thing, because you have now become ubiquitous with anything that ever happens with punters. Your name comes up on this program all the time, and I don't know that anything quite like what happened on Sunday has ever happened to a punter before. It is now known as the butt punt. We must get your perspective on what happened in Miami right there.
Yeah, I talked about it on Monday Night Manning a little bit, and I talked about it on my show. It's one of these situations where a backed-up punt is a situation, and Ninkovich knows this because he's a special teamer, and obviously he was up there with Belichick, so you talk about it. The area to punt the ball is already incredibly short. They're operating in tight quarters. They're 11 yards, it appears, from snap to the back of the end zone. Have to move up, so he's probably standing about 10 yards, normally 14. So there's a lot of blame to go around in this particular case. Like, why did the offense run a play not to get them to the 4 or the 5 on a third down, making them punt from the 1? That's a conversation. Could Thomas Moore said it maybe shorten his steps a little bit more? Potentially, he's already got short steps. The PP backing up in this situation is like a cardinal sin in special teams. He's got a deal now with Charmin and Dude Wipes, and now a story to go on forever, some bruised cheeks moving forward. But this is just classic, two hops back, and a ball goes right off the ass out of the back of the end zone. If that thing's 2 feet shorter off a dude's ass, that's a touchdown for the Bills. The Bills win this game, you know? Instead, it goes out for a safety. Somehow the Dolphins maintain a win. Ken Dorsey loses his mind. And if you're Thomas Morstead right here, you're thinking that you're in a movie. This can't be real. I did not just blast the ball off of the ass crack of my personal protector. And he did. It's now a negative 1 yard punt for Thomas Morstead as opposed to a blocked punt. So there's a lot to go around, a learning curve, and they got the win, so that's all anybody cares about. But you never want to hear the thump, thump, especially off your own guy's ass in special teams and in punt game in particular.
McAfee, you know we love you. We all love you here. We are looking forward to Saturday night, all the things that you do, and the new one is the MegaCast. Saturday night, we will see you on ESPN2. Thank you, Pat. Pat McAfee with us here. And again, Saturday night, we have the game. It is a huge game in the ACC between NC State and Clemson, and McAfee will have the ESPN2 telecast. It's like the Mannings do on Monday nights. He's doing on Saturday nights, and it's going to be terrific. He's the best. Okay, First Take is coming up top of the hour here. Who will have a bigger game Sunday, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? They will answer that question and more as they roll on next here on ESPN. But we're not by any means done, because the big fella has just grabbed himself a mallet and he is going to smash some tiny helmets. It's a tradition unlike any other. Nags. Big men, tiny helmets. I think I work for it. He's got the shield. We got the goggles. Who gets their helmet smashed?
Do not kill me with these helmets.
Watch yourself.
You might want to blend that third up.
A little piece of that actually went in my mouth.
You okay?
No. I have like a little bit of helmet in my mouth.
I'm sorry.
Like, I'm literally taking out the set here. This shrapnel be going everywhere. I got myself with the shrapnel.
This segment is dangerous. It is, but all protections have been taken here. We are in good shape. Graziano has the ceremonial additional mallet.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it.
No, nothing. But D. Wood is ready to roll. Here we go. So he is going to pick these games, this very large man, by smashing these very small helmets. So the first game we're going to do is Chiefs and Buccaneers, a huge matchup between two great quarterbacks. Who's getting smashed?
Yeah, I'm going to smash. I'm going to smash in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Where did he still landing?
I think it went, like, off the set. Like,
all this left.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Mask.
All that's
left disintegrated.
Is that.
Yeah, I'm smashing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Listen, I think it's a situation where obviously with, you know, with the hurricane and being displaced,
yeah.
You know, that's a tough, that, you know, family. You're dealing with a lot of things out of your control in that situation. It's a tough spot to be in. Chiefs coming off a loss against the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going with the Chiefs in that game.
Okay, the next one is in Baltimore, a matchup between, I think, the two leading candidates for MVP right now, which would be Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. It's the Ravens and the Bills. Who's getting smashed?
Yeah, I'm smashing. Ooh. Look at that. Yeah.
Really?
Going at me.
Yeah.
Allen's going at me.
Right? I'm smashing the Buffalo Bills. Listen, both of these teams actually, I think both of these teams are struggling on the back end of their defense. But when you look at the Buffalo Bills, they got some critical injuries in their secondary. They got guys, you know, Poirier out for the year with the neck injury. You know, they're starting a bunch of young guys on the back end, and you're doing that with Lamar Jackson and company in Baltimore. Good luck with that.
Yeah, that Bills one, that took up, that's a pretty good shot
you
gave
Bart's helmet.
All right, and then we finish it up with tonight's game. Yeah. The Dolphins and the Bengals in Cincinnati. We do expect Tua to play. The Bengals are favored at home tonight despite the Dolphins being unbeaten. Who gets smashed? Oh.
Smash into my.
Go.
It's right there. It's on the floor.
There it is. Masks.
Smash
it.
Oh,
I get it again. I don't know.
Oh, Jesus.
That's how you do it.
There's no coming back from that, okay? I'm smashing the Miami Dolphins. Listen, I talked about it earlier in the show. Joe Burrow and company had a get right game last week against the New York Jets to get the ball rolling again. I think, you know, Miami, they've been resourceful. They've won a lot of different ways, but I think Joe Burrow and company is ready to get this thing sustained.
I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't know you were going to hit the second one because I was looking over there. That scared me to death. Okay, so those are his picks. We can put our picks on the screen. Again, the Dolphins are unbeaten. They look so good.
Whoa.
No one on this set is buying in.
That's
no.
Bad you know luck. What? Bad
when,
luck.
When everybody zigs, I zag. Give me the Dolphins tonight. I think they're going to prove everybody wrong. Tua's going to prove everybody wrong. Bart, he's going to have a huge game just for you. Just for you tonight. Tua's going to have an enormous game. He's going to find Waddle. I'm not hitting anything.
Oh, okay.
The one time I tried it.
I mean, I just imagined you trying and missing.
I did. The first and only time I ever tried to hit one of these helmets, I missed it.
So we're just going to leave that there.
It was humiliating. We'll just leave it there. Thank you for that. That's well done.
That's well done,
big fella.
Thanks for watching. See you tomorrow. First Take now.